But I think that when you start to look at what are the skills that we need to have, it comes back to the people factor, right? You're going to have the very skills that we've been running away from since COVID, right? And you're going to need to be able to draw on those again and have people skills to be able to do things that a computer can't do. Because you're not going to be able to outsmart AI. So you're going to have to outpeople it. We've kind of forgotten how to people in a way.
I like that. You're going to have to, maybe like we just coined a new term right there, is how to outpeople AI.
What's up, John? Welcome back to viewers and listeners to View From Above with John Berger. John, we were just talking, it's been about 6 weeks or so since we've done one of these things, so I feel like it's been a while, good to see you. So I want to dive right into the topic of the video here, because I just brought the concept of this up to you, and you immediately dove right into, it sounds like you got a lot of thoughts, but AI is such a big topic in the world right now, and there are such far-reaching implications that AI is having on our just day-to-day lives. I mean, I even went to a fast food place the other day, and AI is trying to take my order. You know, so it's like it's not just in business, it's not just in the tech world. I mean, it's everywhere. So, wanted to talk on this episode about what are the implications for AI in your business? I know I'm looking at a few different AI tools right now. There are some that I didn't even really sign up for, but you automatically, like the platform that we're recording on right now, it has AI tools built into it. Whether I ask for them or not, 20 minutes after we finish this, it'll have 18 shorts and a full episode edited and all these things. I do usually go back in post-production and kind of double check the AI's work, right? And not just, you know, spit it straight out.
Yeah, you should.
But whether you opt in for them or not, AI is all over the place. So, you were sharing some things with me just there before we started recording, that you get an email update every day, basically on what's happened in AI in the last 24 hours. And you said it's just incredible how fast it's happening. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, yeah. So that email comes in every day, and it's almost overwhelming when you start seeing how quickly the whole space is evolving. And really all they're doing is covering the big boys in the AI space, you know, and then maybe some tangential companies, like one article was on what Salesforce is doing with AI. And that's just what Salesforce is doing. And then maybe what some other company that is doing to integrate AI into their tools and services. But most of the articles that the daily email is covering, and there are 4 to 5 articles every day, are about major shifts that the major AI companies are doing in their releases. When you think about ChatGPT, and they just released, 5.0, and it was underwhelming, I guess, for some people, because the expectations for each advancement is huge. And those advancements to ChatGPT are coming in every few weeks. I mean, we're not doing, what's the old cycle? You know, you went from one version to version 3.0, and that might be once a year or once every 18 months. That would seem to be the cycle. In the AI space, the cycle is days versus months, right? Every 12 days or 18 days, we're going to have a whole new version of this thing. And I think that gets to be overwhelming for anybody who's trying to say, well, what's going to happen with AI in my space? You know, I'm a financial advisor. I'm a business coach, a fractional CFO, or chief financial officer. What one of my clients calls your CFO in a box. And it's like, well, no, not really, because I'm not in a box. It's a plug and play thing. It's like you can get my services for a small portion of what CFOs may do for other companies. But the point is, it's affecting what I do in my space. And I don't even know what tools are available to me today, because I maybe didn't do the heavy research that I did last time I did it was, you know, at the beginning of August. That was the last time I really had the bandwidth to go, let's see what tools are available in my space to do. And there have been gazillions of new tools that have been added just in that 6-week period. It's, and that's just me. And then you talk about my clients and every one of their spaces and everything that they're doing in various businesses, whether it's legal firms or whether it's a retail operation or whether it's a construction company. And I do consulting for all of those types and rental companies. And it's just every one of them has AI tools that are being developed for that space. And they're coming so rapid fire, you just can't keep up with it.
Yeah, and it's the far reaching, it's the reach of AI is incredible because it's not just for computers. It's not just to make your computers give you answers mm-hmm. faster. It's not just for the technology sector to help technology work faster. I mean, I think we've probably said this before. I don't know if it's ever been on the show, but I play a lot of golf. And I'm a pretty decent golfer. And I downloaded a new swing app the other day. I didn't even know what it was. I just saw it advertised. I was like, oh, that seems kind of cool. I'll look at it. It was AI. It was an AI swing analyzer. All you have to do is hold your phone up to, you know, to video your swing. And I wasn't using it the right way. But if you have your headphones in, it will literally give you instant feedback when you hit a shot. It'll say your hips are too deep. You're this. And so me being the, you know, trust but verify or verify then trust maybe is the way I look at it sometimes. I went back and looked at it to see, okay, are you – it was pretty spot on. I mean, I know my swing pretty well, and I've taken a ton of lessons and even taught some people how to play a little bit. It was pretty good, and what it was telling me was wrong with my swing. And I'm like, okay, so you think about that, and what does that mean? I was talking to a really good friend of mine last weekend or the weekend before. So he's a pharmacist. That's a pretty – skilled profession, right? He went to school for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about AI, and I said, you know, it's interesting to me how many jobs, and I don't know if the general population really thinks about this a lot. I don't know if we think enough about how many different jobs AI could potentially replace. We think of AI as being able to replace what we might think of as unskilled workers or, you know, the more menial tasks. But I was telling him, I mean, I'm not trying to jump so far ahead here, but what's stopping AI from replacing a pharmacist? You can educate it on the drugs and how to mix it and all this kind of stuff. And he said, well, you're still going to need somebody there to do it. I said, yeah, you are. But when a computer is telling you everything you need to do and your job is to push a button, you just went from making $160,000 a year to $70,000 a year to become basically an admin type person. And I don't know if that's a fair, you know, I'm not predicting that or anything like that. But clearly, AI can cut into the golf professional space for, you know, for golf lessons. I didn't even pay. I think that app was like maybe $15 a month if you wanted the premium, right? Golf lessons are $150 an hour, you know. It definitely, you know, it cuts into like the editing work that I do. Instead of me paying somebody, you know, $100 or $200 to edit a video, I can pay $30 a month and basically get it spit out to me instantly as soon as we're finished. So it can reach far beyond just the order taking at your local McDonald's.
Okay.
But what are the limits to it, I guess, and what does that mean, you know, for the business? And that's kind of a two-part double-edged sword question, because for a business owner, you do have to look at it from a standpoint of, do I hire somebody or is there an AI tool that can do that for me? And if there is an AI mm-hmm. tool, I mean, even if you want to support the economy and create jobs, I mean, it's hard to justify a $3,000 expense when it could be $150, you know, for an AI tool to do it. But I think there's also a flip side of that, too, for business owners, which is, can you be replaced by AI? And thinking about your business and how do we stay ahead of that curve to make sure I can't be replaced by AI as well?
Yeah, and that's a really interesting question. You know, part of the question was, you know, what are the limits? And quite frankly, I don't think we know what those limits are. Again, my point in the whole evolution and how much things are going at and what clip is that we don't know. We really don't know. I think we're still scratching the surface of what this can do, what it can do well, what it does poorly, what dangers even are associated with it. That's to me, that's the huge factor. What are the dangers, and should we be putting things into autopilot mode or just be the guy, I'm going to sit here and push the button and relinquish the verification that you talked about, verify first, then trust, right? I think that, that's a huge risk in this space. And I'm not saying it's not manageable, but it's a risk and it needs to be addressed. One of the things that we as advisors and planners do, and certainly coaches do, in the, whether it's in the sports space or in the professional space, coaches do is to help to define where the risks are and how to mitigate those risks. You know, the reality of everything is I always start, no matter what I'm doing with whatever client or even in my own personal life or even in my professional life, whether it's work on my business or work helping with somebody else with their business, is getting to understand what is the true lay of the land and what are the true factors and risks that are associated with it. This is not good, bad paradigm stuff. This is, these are risks. These are real. Then addressing, all right, if these are real risks, how are we going to mitigate them? How are we going to manage them? Do we offer them on somebody else? Do we manage them internally? Do we build a system that manages them for us? I think that AI is just going to, even in greater form, force people to step away from good, bad paradigm. If they want to survive anyway, step away from good, bad paradigm and try to address the potential pitfalls and mitigate those risks as well as they can. Otherwise, we will have a whole thing that is just running amok and we've given it all the reins. And it could turn into HAL 2001.
Yeah, and I think it, an interesting dynamic to it all, I guess, is that if you... There comes a shift maybe or a tipping point where when you start to maybe ask yourself the question, what are the skills that I need to make sure that I'm not replaced by AI? Or what are the things that I'm looking for in an employee that I can't find in AI? What are the things that we still... I was talking to somebody the other day about a little bit different topic, but he was talking about our society nowadays has become so social media focused and we live so much on our phones and our devices that he believes that we're almost starved for like actual human connection. And I can kind of mm-hmm. see that and get that. I mean, I love doing what I do now. I love the podcasting stuff and I talk to advisors all over the country. I'm in North Carolina, you're in California, and we've had, I don't know how many conversations. I feel like I know you pretty well. We've developed a relationship, never met you, you know, and you're one of a few that I've kind of developed these relationships with, never actually seen you face to face in person, you know, never shook your hand, anything like that. So we can kind of get a little bit away. Technology gives us the ability to get away from human interaction to some extent, but we're still personable beings, which means that there can be that starvation for that, I suppose. But I think that when you start to look at what are the skills that we need to have, it comes back to the people factor, right? You're going to have the very skills that we've been running away from since COVID, right? And you're going to need to be able to draw on those again and have people skills to be able to do things that a computer can't do, because you're not going to be able to outsmart AI, right? That's just definitionally not possible, I suppose. So you're going to have to outpeople it. We've kind of forgotten how to people in a way.
I like that. You're going to have to, maybe like we just coined a new term right there, is how to outpeople AI.
That's right. It's
like that. Maybe that might be one of the primary objectives. And I think these are really good questions to ponder. I have encouraged my clients to ponder them even when we're talking. It's like, look, this is real. It's there. It is disruptive. It is going to change everything. It's going to change things less rapidly than the advancements that we're seeing. And if you want a pattern to watch or look at as a reflection of where we are, just go back even to the late 1990s and the early 2000s, right? Where technology and the web completely changed how a lot of things are done and created brand new winners. Amazon didn't exist prior to, you know, that turn of the century in the late 90s. And there were losers as well that didn't embrace these technologies. And you don't want to be the dinosaur that says it doesn't exist. It's never going to take over. But you also have to acknowledge that this is a huge disruptive force and it's going to change everything. You go back to horse and buggy being replaced by the automobile and the Industrial Revolution. This is as disruptive a force as any of those. And if you want to understand the pattern, go back and review those histories, right? Those are tales that are there for us to learn from and grow from. And the reality is, don't be the dinosaur that says this isn't going to change everything. It's just going to change everything. And we don't even know how it's going to change everything. We just know it is going to change everything. That box is open, the genie's out of the bottle, and it ain't going back in. So now the challenge for all of us is, what can I do, to your question, what can I do to put myself in the best place through this torrential change so that I don't get buried by the avalanche, that I get carried for the ride as far as I can be carried, and if anything, I am in a good position to take advantage of the changes that are coming down the pipe that we don't even know what they are right now, right? Because we're still really in the, if you were to look at the web change, there was web 1.0, that was the mid-90s. There's web 2.0, which is probably right around the tech crash, early 2000s. And that evolution was through several years in the mid-2000s. And we're in web 3.0, where things really started to escalate and improve, mobile optimization, all that stuff. That was really not until after Apple iPhone and all that other stuff. So we're talking 2010s, 2012, 2014, somewhere in that range. That scale, compress that down from, 20 years down to 2, right? 10x reduction in time frame, but we're still in AI 1.0.
Well, and technology breeds technology, and it exponentially shortens the learning curve. I mean, like you just said, when you look at what the time gap was between 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, and maybe AI's 4.0, maybe. But it happens. I don't even know the first time I really, I mean, I knew conceptually what AI was, but I don't really remember the exact tipping point where I started to see it starting to come into everyday life a little bit. Probably a year or two ago, I would see when I would try to run like Google ads and Facebook ads and things like that, it would have like AI tools there to help support it, whatever. But I swear to you, and this is amazing to me, again, back to golf a little bit, but I will Google something now, and then it always gives you like the AI overview. And to begin with, I was like, get that out of my face. I want to see what a human being said. Until I started reading it a couple of times, and honestly, like AI gets it right 95% of the time, and its answers are accurate enough that I go with it. And now it's getting to the point where even the video editing is an example of that. I don't think they come out with a perfect final product by any means, which is why I go back through it. But I guess I would say it's 90% as good as I can do and takes 5% of the workflow or work, effort to go into it. So you kind of have to do it. Otherwise, you'll fall behind, because for me to want to charge for what to do it myself, nobody would pay for that, right? To be competitive, you have to use those tools. So there's some of that. But when you look at from what a year ago, 2 years ago, that they first started to become accessible, I guess ChatGPT was really the first time I remember. That was 2 years ago that I first started seeing ChatGPT and started using that. And now here we are, and they're creating thumbnails for my videos, they're writing episode descriptions, they're coming up with titles for episodes, and most of the time they're better than what I come up with in a lot of those situations, right? So I can only imagine where we'll be a year from now, 5 years from now, because it's just going to train itself to be smarter and smarter and smarter. And again, I think I told you before we started recording this, I'm not necessarily sitting here saying pro AI or I'm anti AI. It's just acknowledging the elephant in the room and what it is, whether you like it or not. I told you there are some things that I really like about it, and there's some things that scare the crap out of me about it. But it's there, and it doesn't matter if I like it or not. It's here, right? So I can not like the color of the sky. It doesn't mean I can change it or do anything about it, right? So it's here. Right. what do we do with it? But it is, it's incredible how fast it's changing. And that can also be, you know, maybe a closing point a little bit here, but a lot of your clients have become successful a certain way. And it was not with AI, right? It, you know, they've AI's not been around long enough that they've become successful by using AI. So it can seem very backwards in a way to have to continue to survive and grow. You're going to have to adopt this in some way and kind of go away from some of the ways that got you to where you are. And that's going to be a challenge for some business owners to fight that instinct.
Yeah, no, and I don't disagree, but I guess to put a finer point on it from my perspective, from a business owner standpoint, right? So you're a business owner, your business has been successful because of something, right? You didn't just make a widget. You made a widget that people wanted. You provided a service that nobody else provided. I mean, that's what we entrepreneurs do, right? We see a void and we fill it. And maybe we fill it with a service approach or a personal approach or something along those lines. I think, you know, at a 30,000 foot view, the answer to the question of what should I be doing about AI with any business is look at your business and look at what parts can be done better, more reliably, at a lower cost, or done as well at a lower cost by an artificial intelligent agent, right? And see if they're, you know, because those spaces, if it isn't happening today, maybe it won't happen for a year, but somewhere along the line, those jobs, those spaces, that portion is going to be replaced. And, you know, maybe the cost is a little prohibitive today. Maybe it's an AI agent that costs $200 a month versus $2,000 for a human being to do. That's the first step in your business. But also to truly understand what in my business makes my business unique. And don't let AI change that. AI may do a lot of it, but don't let AI change that. Don't get so, oh, automation's everything. So I'm just going to have my business do what can be done automated wise. And the business itself loses its soul, and the service, the thing you did as an entrepreneur from the beginning, which was I saw a hole and I filled it. And get that, just do that as good as you can. And if AI can help you do it better, even better. And if AI can't help you do that better, then you've got a really interesting business that maybe will even thrive in this space because AI can't do it. But also understand, if AI can't do it today, that doesn't mean that 3 months from now, it won't have figured out. They won't have figured out a way for it to do that more effectively, cost effectively at least, more efficiently. But there's always something that we humans can do that AI can never do, and that is the human thing.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to out-people it. You can't outsmart it. You got to out-people it. So,
And I think that's the takeaway from this episode that everybody should to walk away from is like, all right, how can I out-people AI in my business and make my business something that nothing can replace?
Totally agree. I love it. And appreciate your time. And thanks for the patience there as I was working through my speaker issue. But always a pleasure for business owners out there. If you would like to chat with John, he's does excellent work on the fractional CFO side and also from just financial planning for business owners as well. So you can check him out at altuswealth.com. The link to that will be in the description below. We look forward to hopefully seeing you on future or you seeing us on future episodes. Check us out on YouTube or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the platforms out there. Like us, subscribe to us, follow us, whatever it's called on the platform you're enjoying the show from. So, John, thanks for your time as always. We'll see you very soon. And it's you can only imagine what will change in AI between now and the next time we talk.
You bet. Have a good one.
See you, John. Bye.